Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us as we get into your word to know you, to hear you, to follow you, to understand things that we could not understand if we were not sitting here under the anointed preached word of God. Praise you to give us ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, but even greater than that, Lord, a heart to obey that which we hear. We thank you and we trust you in every situation, and especially in this moment, to lead us to where you need us to be and want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody? Y'all look good. All right. Well, I just hate when like two people clap and then everybody don't clap together. How y'all doing? Then I'm not going to be tortured with it on my ear. Master Bruce, you already did. I didn't even see. Okay, number one, let's start out today as we look into our topic by taking a story that's in the Bible that hadn't been talked about that much, but I think it will set up the cosmic battle that I want to talk about. There was a time when a guy in the Bible by the name of Solomon, King Solomon, and he was going to settle the dispute between two women who had two different opinions about something that happened. Both of these women, as they got before Solomon, were arguing about a baby and who was the rightful owner of the baby. Solomon asked to tell the story. Both women were at home. They both gave birth to babies at home a few days apart. One of the women, in the middle of the night, her child died. When her child died, she went while the other woman with an alive baby was sleeping and took her baby and put her dead baby next to the woman whose baby she took. Then when they woke up, the woman realized that not only was the baby dead, but it wasn't her baby. She immediately confronted the other woman, and the other woman acted like she was crazy. Thus, they ended up in front of King Solomon to settle the dispute. King Solomon, who was the wisest man to have ever lived, said, I know what to do. We'll take the baby. Somebody bring me a knife. We're going to cut the baby in half, and I'm going to give one half to one mother and another half to another mother. That seems fair to me. And just before he got started, one mother started saying, "Woo, yeah, I like this plan. Cut that baby up. You get half and I get half. That seems fair." The other mother said, "Wait, I would rather she have the child than to see the child destroyed for what I want, even though I'm right." King Solomon said, "Don't touch the baby. I know who the mother is now." And it's the person who wanted to preserve the life of the child. The atheistic mindset is trying to compete with God's mindset. One gives you life, and one gives you hopelessness. If you believe that nothing created the world, then you can do whatever you want, when you want, how you want, but there's no hope. Someone can decide at any moment that you don't even need to be here. And it could convince you don't need to be here because life is meaningless, it's hopeless. It can even get to the point where the very reason that we give birth to babies is just to harvest them for someone who already lives to have a better life and then to discard them. You see, the atheist is trying to get you to turn in life abundantly for life tragically. And they're trying to tell you, be happy about it. Last week, Pastor Jim preached good and evil are no illusion. And we can see through the Boston Marathon that there are people in the world that can do evil things and justify it. They can call right wrong and wrong right, good evil and evil good. But yet, something on the inside of us knows there's a distinction. What is it? Even the fact that you know that there's evil means that you had to know that there was good. Who told you what was good? The Bible says God is good and all the time. You intuitively know he's good. The Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Therefore, the only way to overcome this mindset is with the mind of Christ. The message that we want to speak about today is called, There Was a Beginning. And therefore, there is a proof that God exists if there was a beginning. I'm going to give you proof. I'm going to give you a purpose for this revelation. And I'm going to give you how it profits you if you submit to it. From the very beginning of time, Aristotle to Einstein, people believed that the universe just existed, that it was. They were not giving God credit for it. Neither were they discrediting God. They were just saying it was too big to try to figure out, so they were just nice. Look at it. And everybody focused in on their own individual lives. Most atheists and scientists do not want to make a declaration that there was a beginning, because when you make a declaration of a beginning, they say you let the divine foot in the door. But they had to come to the conclusion that that Christians have come to from the very beginning. That in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created time. Then he created heavens, universe. He created earth, matter. God did it all. And for over up until the 19th century, they were claiming that it just was. Now, after all of those centuries, they agree with us, the Bible-believing people, that there was a beginning. They're just not willing to credit God for the work. They say, no, we've looked back through space, and we can see that at some point in time, as you look at what is that word I'm trying to get out of my mind? Radiation. You can get all the way back to an original source. And because I can see this, I know that there's a beginning, and they declare it. But they just cannot give God credit for that beginning. So what they do to you and I is say, we know that after the Big Bang, which was really a derogatory term started by a Belgium priest who was also a physicist who didn't know his Bible, who thought that a beginning would be like a Big Bang, made that like derogatory statement and then now become a theory. That's how they got it. Because somebody didn't know their Bible that studied the Bible in the beginning. They say that when the Big Bang happened, which is my hand, that time and space happened, matter and energy happened, but how did the bang get there? What's on the other side of the bang? They said, Dr. Krause says, I don't know. And a matter of fact, he wrote a book, said the universe from nothing. He says what's on the other side is nothing. So if I asked you, what did you eat? And you said nothing. And I said, what did nothing taste like? Well, nothing. Nothing, therefore, produces nothing.
But he's trying to tell you that something came out of nothing. And it's one of the smartest people on the planet. If you don't know this name, you need to Google it. He is just brilliant, but he don't know God. So you have to take the information and say, oh, that's good information. But don't follow his character. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist, probably one of the smartest people on the planet. He's a brother, which is not relevant, but I just thought that. I just thought I'd acknowledge that. Anyway. I was watching him last night, and he was talking about all the intricacies of the universe and how brilliant it was. And every time he would talk about it, he says, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's mind-blowing. And he would do all this. I said, it's like he's worshiping. Because he's looking at God's creation and saying, whoa, it's magnificent. But he's not giving the praise to God. And the interviewer said to him, well, if the universe came from nothing, he said, that sounds like magic. And the man looked up, he said, it is magical. And he said, wouldn't that make it science fiction? You see, the argument of the atheist has to discredit where the Bible has shown up for over 19 centuries saying there was a beginning. And if you can trust the Bible to tell you something that science could not figure out for 19 centuries, then you can trust the Bible that's telling you something created the universe versus nothing, you scientists. I love you, and thank God for your discoveries of what God has already created. It only makes me worship him more. Oh, the sun, the moon, the eclipse, oh, the black hole. Yes, glory to my God. They naming stuff. They naming stars they found. You actually can buy a star and put your name on it. Don't be so foolish, though. Because somebody else can claim your property, and then you're going to be in court. Sorry. See, they believe as the bang happened, they looked at this, and they said, well, we got time, space, we got energy, matter. And then they looked at it and says, it's got a personality. Then they said it's rational, which means it's comprehensible, it's linear, it's numerical. You can ascribe values to it. It's logical, they say the universe is. But yet they tell you that people of faith are illogical. Yet they believe that the universe has logic. So they're only really insulting that which they reject, even though they know it's true. Now, how do you know it's true, Pastor Jim? Because I use their words against them. They says, anything that exists, anything that began to exist has a cause. And if the universe began, then it also has a cause. We just say it's nothing, and you just say it's God. So, my thing is there proof? Yes, there is proof. And to get proof, you got to call witnesses. Have you ever been accused of something and know that you was right, and you get so mad, and you just try, you're doing everything you can to prove it? You ever been there? Well, talk to me then. Say, yeah, I know. Okay. My sister had this boyfriend when we was growing up. We didn't like him because he was in ROTC, but he thought it was the Army already. And I said, that's ROTC, man. You ain't been through boot camp. Don't play us. Anyway. And if you've been doing that, it's just ROTC. You have to sign up. Okay. And so he was coming trying to date our sister. We didn't like it. I got two other brothers. They're both bigger than me. And he would come to the house, and my mama made us go and, like, entertain him. She said, go get the norms. We took him outside, and we was going to play some two-on-two football with him. But it was really three-on-one. We was jacking him up. Jack, he should have volunteered to get out that game. And so finally, he wasn't winning at nothing, and he came into the house, and he said, well, let's arm wrestle. So we arm wrestling on the glass coffee table in the house. And his story, when it broke, was that I did it. And mine was that he did it. And we both were stuck on our positions with no proof but our word until my dad came and called witnesses. And it's nothing like an eyewitness to get to the bottom of the truth. And he did. It was that boy's fault because none of us liked him. Don't play with our family. We don't play that. Go up here. In order to understand what happened at the beginning and before the beginning, you've got to talk to somebody who was there. Jesus was there. The Bible says that if you get the testimony corroborated with witnesses, you believe it. He said, but when I had to get testimony, I couldn't find anybody that was there with me. So I'm testifying about myself. That's how bad I am. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And without the Word was not anything created that was created. The Bible says, in him who the Word was light and life, and this light was the life of men. The Bible says this light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Then the 14th verse of John 1 says, and the Word that was doing all of that good stuff became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is a bad man. But I love the rules of Scripture say, you got to get another witness, Jesus. Where is that? Where else is that in the Bible? Well, turn your books to Colossians 1, 15, and let's prove what God already knows, and let's give a purpose for what God shows, and let's give you the profit in those who submit to it. Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means before you even got here, God was here. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things in earth, visible, invisible, whether they're thrones or powers, or rulers, or authority. In other words, he's telling you there's some things that have been created that you cannot even see, that are powerful, they are systematic. You don't even understand the structures, and I created all of them, and they haven't even been discovered to you. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. That's us. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That means I'm King of kings, Lord of lords, the boss, the beginning of everything that means something, and I'm the end. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Who is him? Jesus, the Word, made flesh, dwelling among us. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Everything was made by him. The Bible says he's from everlasting to everlasting. That means God himself sits outside of the creative process which created time and space. He is the creator of time, which is linear. It has a beginning. It has an end. Eternity envelops all of time. The Bible says he's immortal. He's invisible. He's eternal. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he cannot be compared to anyone else. And the only thing you've got to do to know him is to seek him. The Bible says in Romans 1 that if you look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, and anything that God created, even a human being, looking into the eyes of a human being, you see God. He said everything was created by him, in him, for him, from him. That means that every time you walk, you're walking on him. Every time you talk, you're talking with power that came from him. Every time you think or see or move or act or interact, it's all about him. What is he doing? He's trying to give you a general revelation that you can't have life without him. But if you are not calling on him, y'all need to pray for my boy. I don't know what that was even about, but I like it. If you are not calling on him, you are necessarily making yourself available for another voice, and it is a demonic voice of Satan, telling you how to define life without God. Just like you can call on God and he'll answer, you cannot call on God and the devil will say, I'm available. They taught us when young, little gang, you stand in the mirror and you just keep calling with the lights on, you just keep calling the devil and he shows up. I can tell you, most of you in here in the room will tell me that you have heard a demonic voice or inclination before. That you know what to do right, and some voice said, do something else. It wasn't God telling you to do it. Because in him is light, and light, he leads you and guides you into the truth, not away from it. But yet you can reject God's voice where there is proof and accept the devil's voice and say he don't exist. See, the proof that God exists is the fine-tuning of the universe. That is fine-tuned. That in the grass expanse of galaxy, Milky Way, Andromeda, and all the other galaxies that exist, that God took in some corner of the universe. He made one inhabitable spot, which is unimaginable. And in order for it to be inhabitable, there were millions of things that all had to work out together at the same time. It's unbelievable. It's like hitting the lottery 1 million times in a row. That's unbelievable. It was fine-tuned. It was made exclusively for you. So when you look at the universe and you say, I thank God. Let me rephrase it. The universe is great. It gives me energy. The universe has given to me life. I am nothing more than stardust that given to me from a distant star. I thank thee, O universe, you giver of things. That's like somebody giving you a gift on your birthday or on Christmas, and you walking over to the gift, this podium was the gift, say, I thank you, podium. I thank you. No. You need to thank the giver of the gift. The universe is not your gift. No matter how great it is, no matter how incomprehensible it is, no matter how wonderful it is, no, your gift is Jesus, and him alone be glorified and give praise and glory. He must be thanked. He must be lifted. He must be glorified because he is the creator of all things. And within this proof, there is purpose. Let's go down to the 21st verse. once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your own mind because of your evil behavior. In other words, you were created to be with God, but you were alienated from God because of you. And anytime you want something opposite than what God wants from you, you choose to ignore the revelation. And you accept whatever you can figure out without him. And this is not a new spirit. When they were at the Tower of Babel, and they built that tower up, they said, because we're going to get up in here into the heavens or to the universe, and we're going to make a place for ourselves, because we want to show God that he's not the most superior mind. That if we band together, we could get there without him. And God said, you know what? Because they were made in my image, if I don't stop this, them trying to get somewhere without me, they're going to be lost. And he disperses them. That's what science, though it is useful, though it's factual, when it excludes God, that's how dangerous it is. But it's trying to get somewhere without giving him credit. That's the danger. And when that happens, you fail to have purpose. And that's what we're after. Why does God want you to have purpose? Because the Bible says in Psalms 139, he says, I love Psalm 139. It's my favorite psalm today. It says that God wrote all the days of your life in a book before you did one. It says Jeremiah 1. He said before you were born, I knew you. Meaning you had a relationship before you were born. And I ordained you before you got in your mother's womb to be a prophet with purpose. Then in 1 Peter he says, all those whom I foreknew, I did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of my son. That God, through foreknowledge, gave us purpose. And because we have purpose, we have meaning. They call it the anthropic principle. That God designed something that was so exclusively paramount for you that it felt like it was personally done. The atmosphere is personal for humans. Our proximity to the sun in the universe is perfect for humanity. It's like going into a room and seeing a hotel room and seeing everything that you love laid out. Somebody was thinking about you. All your favorite stuff is there. Somebody thought about you. This is why abortion is so hideous. I want to say something because I want to talk about this topic for a moment. Abortion happened. That's not God's will. But God doesn't have condemnation within his character. So that happens outside his will, but that doesn't mean you're outside his love. So just because as a preacher I'm assigned to talk about a topic and why it's erroneous to believe that he's favorable for it because he knew you before you got here, that it doesn't mean if that's something that's happened in your life or somebody's life, you know, you need to be condemning to them. You need to love them because they probably did it in ignorance. And if they weren't ignorant, they probably are having a difficult time living with that. And God don't want you to have a difficult time. He wants to redeem you. He wants to forgive you and wash you and clean you and build you back up. He loves you. This is the other proof of him, that you can be loved by him. So infanticide and genocide and all of these things that try to snuff out life are rebellious to God at the highest level, because God created everything with purpose. There is no purposeless thing scientifically in the universe. So even science believes there's purpose, which is proof of God. So that's why I told you I need to take a minute. I'm going to come after a spirit. Suicide. There are more struggling. Now, I just got to be honest with you. I know this in the spirit. Somebody, you're struggling with that today. I came here out of my prayer time. I'm being very specific. Because your purpose is so lost to you that you can't find reasons to live. And it seems comprehensible to you not to be here. But that's wrong. God loved you so much, he gave you purpose. And I know there's pain, but there's even a purpose within the pain. Just go through. There's some joy on the other side. I'm encouraging you because he loves you. We've got to have you here. You're the hope that God puts for humanity. People cry out for an answer. He puts it in a human being. The human being is born, and they answer a social problem. You're the answer to somebody's problem. Don't leave here. Don't leave here. You're the answer. Don't leave here. Crying out for your life. I'm standing in the gap. You're not going to die. Not on my watch. You entered the wrong church if you wanted to die. You're not going to do it here. So when that spirit visits your house, and it visited Jesus. So Satan came to Jesus and said, jump, throw yourself down off this mountain. He told that to Jesus. He will tell you to kill yourself. So let's not keep that in the closet. Let's just go and bring that out in the light. You got a lot to live for. You got a lot to live for. You got a purpose. You got a purpose. Don't let your weight get you down. Don't let your job situation get you down. Don't let your relationship get you down. You've got purpose. And I was thinking about Pastor Carol and Pastor Bruce. Pastor Carol ran in the Boston Marathon this past week. She finished at a great time, personal best, 4 minutes. I mean, 4 hours and 4 minutes. But she did it in four minutes. I'm saying, Carol, let's go get rich, baby. Shoot. You did that in 4 minutes. You got something mighty going on. But I often think I'm so grateful to God that she has purpose. Well, God allows her to run her personal best and avoid this injury that could have happened to her. And her husband walked around the corner where he would have been standing when the bomb went off. And last Sunday, your pastor, after the last service, bought an expensive plane ticket to Boston to go surprise them, only to hear God 3 times, 30 minutes before I'm supposed to go, say, you're not supposed to go, you're supposed to stay home and pray. I'm so glad that God's got a word. He can get on the inside of you that tells you you've got purpose. Every time somebody tells me there's not proof, there's not purpose, let me tell you, when I feel the love of God, I know there's purpose. When I feel the peace of God, I know there's purpose. When I got joy down in my soul, I know there's purpose. When I start speaking in my heavenly language in tongues, I know there's purpose and there's power, and he's in me. So I'm not going to be ashamed, because nobody can pull me up out of a pit like God and say, you got purpose. Oh, I got to go. Last one. Prophet. The last verse says like this. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that you have proclaimed to every creature under heaven. And I, which Paul am a servant. What is the gospel? It's the good news that you are living to live again. The Bible says, if you're faithful over the little in this life, he'll make you ruler over much in the next. That God has never left you out of his divine plan in his divine universe. And maybe, just maybe, you have forgotten how great the reward is. That God says we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or evil. That God is going to reward you and God is going to bless you. And let me tell you what the destination of this universe is. And even scientists will tell you that it's going to implode. It's going to explode. And there's a day that they predict when it will completely go away. Sometimes they think an asteroid might hit us. Sometimes they say, I think it's going off course. But I'm telling you this, they know that all what you see is going to melt away. Well, again, the Bible didn't just tell us 1900 centuries ago that there was a beginning. It told us there was going to be an end to this. And God was going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and he was going to come and live and reign with us. With who? All those that called upon his name and got saved. All those that said yes to the gospel. All those that said yes to the proof, yes to a purpose. You can get the profit of living with him for eternity. Stand to your feet. Here's the two problems we have. The Bible says it is the job of the devil in 2 Corinthians 4:4 to blind the mind lest you see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says that you get to get born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible, which is by the word of God. I'm telling you that if you are not born again, you need to get born again today. And the second prayer I'm going to pray is for people who are sitting outside of your purpose because you've not partnered with God enough. You're living life as you so choose instead of how he designed. And you're trying to have a business or be a lawyer or a doctor or a student without his purpose and intended goal for those activities in your life. Yeah. He's got purpose for the universe, a star that's going to be destroyed. He's got purpose for you. Bow your head, close your eyes. Without wasting time or hesitating, I know you're here today. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are estranged from him and you need to come back to him. If you want to get it right with Christ, raise your hand if you want to get saved today so I can see it. Only me looking around. Just raise your hand. Raise it up high and leave it up so I can see it. Raise it up and leave it up. Come on. Raise it up high and leave it up. Thank you. Come on. Raise it up high. You don't have to struggle with this anymore. I'm clear where I'm going to stand with Jesus. Raise it up. Thank you. Come on. Raise it up. Thank you. Higher. Nobody looking but me. Come on, higher. Ending the struggle. Okay, you can put it down. Now before I pray the dismissal prayer, if you raise your hand, it's what we do at Bethel. And I'm sorry to do it to you, but no, I am not sorry to do it to you. I want you to do another bold step. You can't walk alone. You can't live alone. You can't be a Christian in hiding. God is calling you up and out. Nobody saw you raise your hand but me. But if we begin to praise God, I'm sure that they will be brave enough to come down and stand with me and let me pray for them. Come on and praise God. If you raise your hand, come stand with me. If you raise your hand up, come stand with me. Be bold. Oh, praise God, saints, they'll come. Come on, be bold. Take that bold step. Take that bold step. I'm waiting on you. I'm believing in you. Come on and praise God. Praise God and fight for life. Come on, I want to stand with you. Jesus loves you in the fight, in the battle. Come on out of hiding. Come on out of hiding. Glory. Those of you here today, and you want to live with greater purpose, partnership with God, raise your hand. Hurry, quickly, quickly, quickly. I'm going to pray dismissal, and I'm going to pray over you. Now, I would be smart and put my hand up. You're not living that purposeful with him, okay? You're trying to, maybe. If I got my hand up in the last service, so come on. Let's just, we're not going to be super religious. Just throw your hand up. You need purpose. Father, we pray right now as we leave this place that the supernatural exchange and change happens. Every day of our life, we live knowing you approved who you said you were and you've done what you said you would do. Now we will live out the purpose that you've assigned us. We won't do it to fulfill our own will and get what we want out of life. We will let you get yours first. And whatever left, Lord, we'll take. Be with us. Guide us. Be more pronounced in our life. We make ourselves through the choice of our will available to you. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, we pray you go with us. Keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give him a hand clap of praise. You're dismissed, and you're loved by Almighty God. Go and love somebody else. Ministry team, come down so you can pray for people.